Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Leo Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Want to say hi to all the subscribers. Checking us out every single week, multiple times a week. New interviews Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thank you for keeping up with the series. Thank you for all the comments and the hellos. And if you haven't already given the series a rating and left a review or whatever, please do that. And if you're not a subscriber, take that moment. Hit the subscribe button to keep up with the series. It's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists. Just grab your listening device. Head to wherever you get your podcast from. Type in Kyle Meredith With and subscribe. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with Tim Casher of the band Cursive. Cursive have a new record. It's the second one in 2 years. Last year they gave us Vitriola and apparently had a wealth of songs that they were able to say, we got two records worth. And so just weeks ago we got Get Fixed. Tim and I are going to talk about the heavy, heavy themes that are going on in this one. Dark times, dark matters. Politics, sociology, nationalism, and punk rock. It's all in here. We'll talk about how these songs have aged, both in form and the way he feels about them, just in the past few years since they've been written, thoughts on the versus mentality the world seems to be at these days, and if the way he writes about such subjects have changed through the years. We'll hear about a few of the tracks from the record, including the title track, and songs that are rooted in questions that he's looking for the answers. With songs like this, does he feel any closer to those answers? He's one of the generation's best writers, and they've got a powerful new record under them. It's Kyle Meredith with Cursive.
Hey, Kyle. How are you? This is Tim.
Let me start by telling you how powerful of a record Get Fixed is. I love it. I know it's kind of the quick follow-up to Vitriola and everything, but if fans are sort of choosing in the event that they get to choose between two records that come out this close together, nothing against the other one, but I think this one's my favorite.
Oh, cool. I've been getting some of that feedback, and as I've always felt through for as long as I'm doing records, if the feedback's just about somebody saying that they like a record a lot, then I'm always cool with it.
Yeah, because it's not
it's
that
not
I'm
really
saying
ever a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not that I'm saying I don't like the other record, but when you get the chance to do the comparison, because a lot of times it's fair, it's unfair. I mean, to ever really compare a new record to something that was written, you know, more than a few years ago. I mean, everybody's in a different spot, but you know, given the chance this time, like, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, well, I think they're different types of records, and I don't know like how far I could delve into speculation, but I think that with them being different types of records, it created a different response from different types of listeners. I think this one's probably, you know, maybe a little more raw and maybe has more edge to it than Vitriola.
Well, and I want to get into, you know, obviously what you're singing about on this record, too, because when I call it a powerful record, it's powerful in sound, but it's also powerful in what you're talking about. And that's nothing new for what you do in songs, regardless of the subject. This one does seem, you know, to be a very hard focus on a lot of the things that we're seeing in the news, whether specific or not. And I guess that's the thing, because even if these songs had been around for a few years, you know, whatever the timeline was, I mean, anything you wrote in 2017 or 2018 still speaks just as strongly now that you've released it in 2019. Is that how it kind of played out for you as well?
Upsettingly so, right? I mean, it's kind of, that's kind of a frustration. I certainly don't appreciate that sort of convenience, you know,
right.
of like the anger that just stated from 2017 is even more applicable now. It's kind of frustrating, obviously. But this record too, it's even some of these songs that are written, I should say that the vocals are, the lyrics are always the last thing to be written for these songs. So despite some of these songs having been written years ago now, as in maybe actually even like 3 years ago, just because I have a very long songwriting cycle. I don't know, something I've just kind of started doing over the last few years is it's really stockpiling a lot of songs. The lyrics still would have been written more recently. So there's that makes them kind of old and new simultaneously, I suppose.
Interesting way to kind of have a relationship with a song like that.
Yeah, it definitely, you just have to kind of keep them fresh in your mind. An example, probably the best example is I Am Goddamn is a song that was one of the earliest songs that we did for this whole songwriting session. So I think that would have been 2016, I think. We just had so many songs that we never lost interest in that song. We just had too many things to focus on. So it ended up being in a selection of songs that we considered promising songs to look at later is kind of what it ended up being. So that song and also What's Gotten Into You as well was one of those songs.
I'm Goddamn. That's probably my favorite one off the record, I think.
Cool. That makes us so pleased because that's a good, it's for us, it's an example, that example of kind of like a stick-to-itiveness of like believing in something, but being like, we can't do all of this right now. So like, set it aside and kind of hope for the best when we do get a chance to get back to it. And we ended up feeling pretty good about how the end result as well.
Looking at a song like that and the title track, you know, I was reading another interview where you're talking about, you know, a lot of your songs are rooted in questions that, and you're looking for the answer. And I sort of hear it in especially in maybe those two songs in you know, their own ways. Do you feel any closer to solace this time around? Because it seems like this time around, you know, whether the political becomes personal, it's still very big themes that seems very frustratingly easy to lead to pessimism, more so than other times, for me at least, and not trying to project to you. But do you find that you found any solace this time around with these questions and answers?
I don't know. I don't know if solace would be the right word, but kind of upsetting acceptance, you know, of certain things. I think for a song like Get Fixed, to me, the way I kind of view that song is that it's more sad than it is, you know, angry, just in the sense that there is kind of this brutal acceptance in that song of who we are and then just kind of trying to make the best of it.
Which is unfortunately the best that we can do. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I think you and I were concentrating on something similar, too, because when this all did rise back up, not that it's ever been completely away or whatever, but when it all did rise back up, that's nationalism and the versus mentality is what stuck out the most to me. And I was surprised. It's like, why? And not just here in America, obviously, it's happened in other places. But why has nationalism become such a thing? Why is it the, you know, why are we back to the me thing, you know, that it feels like we were supposed to have gotten away from decades ago?
Yeah, I'm also surprised by it. It's so I guess let's, you know, use history as our lessons as well. And recognize that, and I'm no philosopher, and I am certainly no historian, but this is a human trait, right? That's what we're recognizing, I think, is that there is this better part of humanity that has, you know, that wants to cling to a certain enlightenment and growth in how we can be better. But there's, you know, the darker side of maybe what humanity actually is, which is just far more selfish than that, and can't, and that voice has grown very loud again in this country, and obviously in other countries that voice has been dominant for years. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Is that feel about right? Or
yeah, I mean, again, you and I are on the same direction here. It becomes like, I guess I come at it from, I don't know if naive is the right word that I want to go to here, but when you just, you know, when you take away the lines on the map and all the land just joins together and what the hell are we doing? You know, it's sort of that thing. It's, I think there's a lot of sociology in play, obviously.
Yeah.
About people naive
is totally, is absolutely fair for me as well. And, that's a lot back to the song Get Fixed. That's a lot of what that song is about, is it's kind of a discussion between, my wife and I, and, it's kind of the naivete that I've had that, coming to like a realization into that sad, that, as I was saying earlier, that upsetting acceptance of that, that we really are a problem. And I tend to have been more optimistic throughout my life of recognizing like that kind of globalism that we've experienced in fits and starts throughout our life, but that we're just going in such a completely wrong direction right now. It's staggering.
How has the way that you would sing something like this? So you know, you see something and in the news, whatever, and you're angry. How is it that you would, is it different, I guess, is what I'm asking, that you would approach the song now versus how you would have approached it 20 years ago or during the Bush era or whatever? Do you find that there's a difference now?
I don't think so. And I would, it seems a little bit, I maybe I should think about this answer longer, but I think I'd like to say that I don't, that's one facet of songwriting that I don't want to change, mm-hmm. which is, that sounds kind of, that doesn't sound like, that does not have a very positive attitude, because I think we should always be developing, right? You know, like it's in whatever trade you're doing. But the fact that these songs are currently have more of a political bent to them, I like to think that it's as authentic as any of the, anything I've ever written, and that 20 years ago I was more predisposed with I was a younger man, and I was more predisposed with this kind of like a battle of sexes, and like how, because you're at a younger stage where you're trying to figure out how to be a better person and how to be a responsible partner, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, with youth, there can come a lot of confusion with what it is to be a man and to be a woman. And I wrote about that a lot, and I still write about that. But I've been thinking lately about how I write from certainly from like an elder position now, you know, than that youthful voice that I wrote about 20 years ago. But that is the same frustration that I had back then is the same frustration that I have today. It's just that it happens to be more about an externalized world instead of like something internalized. And even on this very record, it's like, that's not, I can't really say that that's the standard. It's just that for a given amount of songs that kind of have that more of that political bent, you know, that's kind of where they come from. Did that make sense? I really went on for a while.
No, it makes perfect sense, and I'll echo you that it completely sounds authentic, because I sort of know what you're talking about. That doesn't, it's not always the case, and I don't think it's artists don't mean well and don't mean for it to sound authentic, but I think there are a lot of artists who, when trying to capture that emotion, they are trying to capture that fire of youth that's not always honest and present. I don't get that one from this
right.
record. You know, I do get the honesty from this.
I shouldn't unfairly throw like Linkin Park under the bus, but I can't remember who it was, but some comedian, I think, was joking about, you know, these grown men who are still writing about how they're mad at their dads.
Right.
You know, it's funny, but I also like to hear and consider things like that and consider and remind myself to always just be writing whatever's currently consuming you and don't try to fabricate anything. It's what I worry about with political music. It's what I worry about with why we've never taken a stance of being a political band, despite the fact that we do write with a political. Yeah, I recognize that we do write with a political agenda a lot, but we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves in that in any way. Because I'm the type of person I am. I'm still very much a head in the clouds fiction writing person. So shit's just political lately because it's what I'm consumed by, and so I write about whatever I'm consumed by, and so it just kind of ends up coming out that way.
And who wants to be pigeonholed? Because then when you do write something else, the story becomes, oh look, now you're writing about something else.
Yeah, and frankly, I've been pigeonholed as the person who it's like I'm certainly have been pigeonholed as the. When you're in a bad relationship or you're like in the middle of a breakup, then go turn to what Tim Kasher's writing about, you know? And I know that I've done that a lot, and I'm sure I'll do a lot more of it, but I don't, like, you know, it can be stifling to have that be the only thing, to only be doing one thing or to be writing the same song over and over again.
Well, that's maybe one of the reasons. I mean, I guess I've never had that exact thought. I know what you're getting at and where you're coming from, but it's maybe one of those things that makes this an even more powerful record. It speaks to me. It speaks to my frustrations right now. And, you know, that's what I look for in music. And, you know, and for that, I thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, appreciate it.
Thanks again, man, for taking the time today and putting out the music. You're going to spoil us with two records like this. We probably shouldn't expect another follow-up this quickly, but but whatever you're doing, I'm going to be listening. I always am.
I really appreciate that.
No problem, Tim. It's a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Bye.
Take care.
Big thanks, Tim Kasher of the band Cursive. The new record is called Get Fixed. And it's out now. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode here. Again, if you're not already a subscriber, I hope you do hit that subscribe button to keep up with the series. We release new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can do so wherever you get your podcasts from. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podchaser, also Spotify, YouTube. You can subscribe there as well. And hopefully give the series a rating, leave a review, just say hi. Something you liked about the interview in the comments box. After that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.